Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
All right, we were talking Marvin Harrison Jr. as we start hour number two. He's just opting out of everything and just saying, you've seen my film, draft me. Is this something that is going to negatively impact Marvin Harrison Jr.?
There's something that you and I have talked about a little bit. Well, not in general, but or not specifically, but in general about fit. Does the idea of, like, Caleb Williams originally saying, putting it out there, I don't want to go to Chicago. I think there's some credence to the Bears doing what they did and laying the groundwork for Caleb Williams so that he did hit the ground running, so he wasn't Justin Fields or Bryce Young. I think that was intentional. I genuinely do. And I wonder if Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, I don't want to go to New England. I do not want to go to Washington. I do not want to go to Arizona.
I think Arizona's going to take him.
I think so, too.
And Arizona takes him. That terrifies me organizationally.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., just the mental makeup of those two guys.
Yeah.
Which I think if you pair Kyler Murray with a Roma Dunze, then
you can't break that spirit.
It works a little bit better. It works a little bit better because you don't have the two clashing egos or what we saw in Brooklyn with the Nets, for God's sakes. You get too much crazy in a room, uh-oh, you don't want that. If you get too much ego in the room, then all of a sudden you have the butting of heads. This is going to be really fascinating to see the manipulation that Marvin Harrison Jr. has because he has to be talking to NFL teams. And there could very well be exactly what you're saying, that manipulation of him saying, I don't want to go to any of these franchises, so I'm going to work myself to where I want to go. Whether that is he wants to end up in L.A. with the Chargers, having Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. having a Jim Harbaugh offense where you know you're going to get shots downfield, you know they're going to drive
the ball. You've got competency at your head coach.
Yeah, 100%. And I could see that happening. But also you have his dad is feeding him a lot of this because he was a pro for so long.
He knows what organizations are and what front offices and what ownership groups, and his dad, who will forever name nameless for various reasons. It's just Marvin Harrison Jr.'s dad.
Yes, senior. Mr. Senior.
Yep.
That is, I could see that being part of their end game because
there's a plan here because they're not dumb.
How different is Marvin Harrison's career if he doesn't have Peyton Manning as his quarterback?
Very. You could say that about every wide receiver. Is Jerry Rice Jerry Rice without Joe Montana and Steve Young? No. I mean, is he still great? Yes. But if he does not have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks throwing him the ball? No.
In system. Yeah. System fits too. That's really interesting. Elsewhere in college sports, UW's on another AD. This was a bit of a shock to most this morning when we woke up to the news of Troy Dannon, the athletic director at Washington, which any Duck fans that went up for that game in October against UW in Seattle, that was the game that Troy Dannon was introduced as the new athletic director at the University of Washington. It was quite the game for them to introduce their
right?
new AD. But Dannon was introduced coming from Tulane up to UW, and here we are 5 months later. He has left the post as AD at UW and has taken the same job at Nebraska because Trev Alberts just bolted for Texas A&M. That job was open. And it's an interesting move based on the fact that is Nebraska a better job as an athletic director than University of Washington?
No. No.
I don't think so either.
I mean, historically, they're kind of at least on par.
But there's
currently no.
There's well, currently basketball's in the NCAA tournament mm-hmm. where, you know, you have Troy Dannon just fired Mike Hopkins.
Yes.
You had the head coach at the University of Washington who, by all accounts and reports, lobbied for Troy Dannon mm-hmm. because they had a connection with one another. You had him depart and leave for Alabama, and he goes and he hires Jed Fisch, and now Jed Fisch has got to be looking around like, what the hell?
The guy that just hired me is gone.
Is gone already
because the guy who hires you is kind of like a shield. It's your guy. You have some level of protection because when a new AD comes in, you're not his guy, and so if things start to go squirrely, the first thing it's going to go is you.
Yeah, and this is like the interesting part that you're also hearing now. 5 months after Troy Dannon took the job at UW, there's reports out now that his family didn't even move up to Seattle.
From Tulane?
They never moved. They kept kind of pushing things back like, oh, kids school, we want to wait till the end of the semester or whatever, you know, all of that stuff. They never ended up moving up to Seattle, but it's expected that they are going to be moving to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Don't be suspicious.
As he takes over.
Don't be suspicious.
And that, you sit there and you go, what are the underlying factors?
Mm-hmm.
He was not a West Coast guy.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're coming from, you know, the South.
Yep.
At Tulane or the Midwest.
Where he hired Willie Fritz.
He's a Midwest and Tulane guy, right? Yeah. Though that's where his background was. He comes out West. It's a different animal.
Oh,
and even when you have the alumni base that UW has, and there is a passion to win at the University of Washington, mm-hmm. but it's been long said, and I think Jen Cohen, and I think this is why she'll do really good at USC, was when she left UW to go down to USC, she had to deal with a lot of cooks in the kitchen up there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a lot of big swinging you-know-whats, it's hard to manage all of those egos in the directions that people want to go, especially when you come from a Tulane where it's not that.
No.
You really have the Benson family, and the expectations aren't as high. And then you come out to the West Coast where everything is new. The donor base is completely different.
And the conference is falling apart around you.
Yeah, but you're in the Big Ten, but you had the safety net.
Yes.
You had the safety
net. But you still had a lot of different things, a lot of changes that you had to navigate where Nebraska, you don't.
This is a big hire for UW, and as Joel S. says on the YouTube chat, he says, bring in someone who bleeds purple and gold and is already in the building. My vote is for Damon Heward. Word is he wants the job also. I don't think that's a slippery slope. See what USC did.
I've been down that path before. You don't want that.
You need somebody, and Damon Heward has been on the administrative side at UW for quite some time.
If he wants to be a part of it, fine. He can't be the guy.
He has got, I mean, and you've got to have somebody that is groomed to take over the AD job. Because mm-hmm. being an athletic director, there is so much, and competence is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they went with a guy like Troy Dannon, who he made a bunch of competent hires at Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a guy that the foresight to hire the right people, put them in right places, and succeed. That is so important. And like, this was University of Oregon, you know this, Pat Kilkenny, mm-hmm. Mike Bellotti, all of a sudden they brought in Rob Mullins, and there was a steadying over all yep. of the sports at the University of Oregon because you had a career athletic director. Mm-hmm. We talk about this all the time with football coaches and basketball coaches in that you have to be the CEO.
Yep.
You have to be the damn president. And you have got, like, you are running a country.
Yes.
And you have got to make sure everybody around you is pulling the
same
direction.
It'd be like if Joey Harrington became the AD. It's not a shot at Joey. It's just, that's not what you want.
But Damon has been working on the administration side.
Sure. So there's a little bit different. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, just because you're familiar with them and he gets you, having that person as somebody the AD can go to is good. It's great. You want that even.
I think that what you need to be looking for is somebody who understands the West Coast.
Yes.
And then you can go with, if they understand the administrative side in running an athletic department, what it takes to run an athletic department in 2024, which is a different world. Mm-hmm. And that may be part of the reasons, you know, why UW wasn't a fit for Dana, because NIL, you have to be able to have your hooks into that and make sure that is operating efficiently and within the rules, and have sustainability as well, because that's the hard part with collectives and the NIL is, how do you make this thing sustainable for the future?
Yeah.
And that's like the most important part about your athletic department now is, do you have the fundraising apparatus to continue to have a sustainable NIL department? And if Damon Heward can be that guy, go ahead, UW. Get that guy. I say you don't need that person that bleeds purple and gold, but one that understands the university, the region, and how to operate administration-wise in this era of college sports, because it's a changing landscape, man. It's a vastly different
landscape. We talk about the coaches and how different they have to be. The same is true on the AD side.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
And, you know, I know a lot of Duck and Cougs fans are taking their victory laps on this one. I hope they get it right, because you get that AD hire right, and that's good for the West Coast. And you better, if you're Oregon, you feel real comfortable with Rob Mullins, the direction of your football and basketball programs, and the sustainability there. But you want to have that competitiveness on the West Coast. You need it on the West Coast. It's good. It's good for it. Take your victory lap, though.
Have your fun
watching. It's never a bad thing to watch your rival squirm for a little bit.
No, not at all.
Not one.
The good stuff.
Little. It's what rivalries are all about.
Basking it, roll around like a little pig and slop. It's fun. I have no issues with that.
All right, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Hey, we're just talking about the Cougs taking a victory lap.
Hmm.
How about that? A little good news for them.
There you go.
Next on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Come party with us. We're going to be at Alinea, the Stadium Sports Bar. Up at Alinea tomorrow and Friday, folks. It's Fan Madness, and it's brought to you by our great friends, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. You got the Stadium Sports Bar. You got the Alinea Sportsbook that is adjacent to it. You've got TVs galore. You've got, we're going to have a half-hour show tomorrow, which we're going to turn into an Oregon-South Carolina watch party after that.
Yes.
And then Isaac and Suker are going to pick up right when they get done, but that game gets done. And then we're going to be on 3 hours Friday, noon to 3, Isaac and Suker, 3 to 7. 7 hours of fan madness on Friday.
Basketball.
7 hours on Thursday. Let's friggin' go. If you want more information, go to fan madness, go to 1080thefan.com. It's brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injuries and missing work ruining your day. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com. He'll make them pay. It's going to be a great day tomorrow and a great day on Friday. So let's all get caught up in the madness. We got some good news for the Beavs and the Cougs. Last week, everybody cringed at the sight of the rumored $360,000 as the payout for Oregon State and Washington State in the new and improved college football playoff. Kirk Schultz being on the college football playoff committee, board of directors, seems to be helping. It seems like he just sat there and went, more, 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 more. Because Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports, the first to report, in the new agreement, $3.6 million.
Hmm.
That's, you go from $360,000 to $3.6 million? That's a lot better lot in life than
1,000% increase is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what you're doing, but yeah, 10 times what times you're originally.
Times 10.
10 times. That's, yeah.
I just imagine that's like good. Everybody going around and throwing out a number and Kirk Schultz just going, more.
I was thinking Bugs Bunny as the orchestra director. Waving his hand, just more.
I was going to, remember, what was it, Brett Kavanaugh's Senate hearing for the Supreme Court where they were asking him how many beers he drank? He was like, more, more, more. Sounds about right. Yeah. You know, like, that seems to be how that went.
Is that from the book of Andre the Giant and Wade Boggs?
Yes.
Yeah. Or he was just sitting there.
No. Strong no. Like, yeah, no.
Like, yeah, no.
We're not taking
that's the best part of it is the end of that. Like, yeah, no.
But that's a good pay bump. Are you still getting lapped by everybody else?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's a significant bump.
It gives you a lot better footing. And then the news out of the SEC today
that
they're going to keep the 8-game conference schedule, it actually benefits Oregon State and Washington State for the 2025 season as it pertains to their scheduling.
Because their conference is still alive, technically. The Pac-12 is not dissolved yet, even though it doesn't exist other than anything but name. They are still a qualifier as a non-conference game for the SEC scheduling purposes.
A power conference,
which means there is a pretty strong likelihood that the SEC is going to make some phone calls to old Oregon State and Washington State, which is going to put some money in their coffers because they kind of have them over their knee.
I like that for Oregon State and Washington State because the scheduling aspect of trying to find games when all of these schedules are made 10 years out, we saw the jockeying that needed to happen this year where, you know, Oregon and Boise State, they flipped a game so you could have that. You saw Texas Tech is now going to play Washington State this year. Because Oregon didn't have room for them on their schedule any longer because they wanted to get the Beavs on there. So you saw a lot of manipulating of these agreements that are made so far out, it's ridiculous. And I think that that's the one thing that the college football playoff truly missed in the new college football playoff is uniform scheduling. Because it's ridiculous that the SEC is only playing an 8-game schedule.
It's dumb.
When they have 16 teams in their conference with the additions of Oklahoma and Texas. Rust had this stat during the break. What was it? 15 years that Texas A&M is going to be in the SEC.
The 2026 season will mark the Texas A&M's 15th season where... Oh, here it is. They will... 15th season without ever hosting Georgia or playing at Kentucky for 15 years.
That seems impossible.
In a conference.
There's 16 teams in the conference. How has that not happened?
Because you have an 8-game conference schedule.
So dumb.
Yeah. And that's every 2 years, you have your scheduling cycle, so you could do home and away, and then that's the way they roll it out. So if you're... it's mind-blowing that this happens. But it's a protection that the SEC puts into their scheduling. And I think that I mean,
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
It makes zero sense that no pressure has been put on the SEC to bump that up. Play nine conference games. When your conference gets that big, it should be mandatory. But if you're Oregon State or Washington State, this is a bone thrown to you. Here are five SEC teams that have a non-conference opening in 2025. Auburn, LSU, South Carolina, Texas, Vanderbilt. Those five. They have an opening in their non-conference. So those are the teams that
this is how you get in and you take Vandy out.
Vandy, just go and beat them.
No, I mean you beat them for the spot in the SEC.
you play for pink slips, yes. Like you just Family. Say we're gonna play this. We'll come to you.
Vin
we'll
Diesel out this. There doing the coin toss.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hologram Paul Walker's brother too.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it.
The difference.
Let's face it. If there's a college football conference that is likely to name one of their events Race Wars, it is the SEC.
Wow.
Our Southern listeners can file your complaints at... Wow.
Wow. Jeez. Wow.
Hey.
The Rust 503 on Twitter.
But is it wrong?
Good Lord.
That one hit hard.
That's a deep cut for the Fast and Furious fans, yeah, you know? Yeah,
no. Jeff Russ came out swinging segment one, and he has not put his sword down.
No.
Like he
5 for 5 today, baby.
Oh, boy.
Just slam a lama ding dong up here.
Jeez.
Start calling you Albert Pujols.
That is.
Goodness.
My goodness.
Love to see it.
Yeah, he sat on a bee over there.
Right?
I don't know. I got fired up by my kid last night, too.
Get that bug on my toy.
Play that again.
Get that bug on my toy.
That's your kid?
That's my kid. That's my lovely 7-year old, my first grader.
Get that GD bug off my toy.
Where could you have possibly heard that before?
I don't know.
Get that bug on my toy.
Children, the gift that keep on giving.
Yes.
Wow. Fantastic stuff. All right. Coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web, and I either have something that's just horrifying or the best Mad Lib ever. I'm just going to make the decision. But first, it's Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
The endless stupidity of this planet never ceases to amaze. It's truly, it is the gift that keeps on giving.
I'm watching right now a video of a guy getting attacked by a goose.
That's absolutely hilarious because I have that also going on my feed and I can't not stare at it.
Geese are the a-holes of the air and land.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, they truly are a nuisance.
Yeah, no, you can... I think I've mentioned this before. Both my previous dogs were bird dogs, duck hunters, the Nova Scotian duck-tolling retrievers.
Oh.
They look like foxes on steroids, and because of that, ducks will come up and taunt them, because ducks are also a-holes. Waterfowl in general, a-holes. But then they'll go out and the dogs will go in the water and break their necks because foxes, well, long story short. Anyways, you have to worry about geese, quote unquote, breaking your dogs. And actually, one of my dogs was broke by a goose. When he was a pup, shot a goose down. He went over to try to go get it, was still alive. It like pecked his face over and over and over, slapped him, punched him kind of a thing. And my pup just got scared.
He was out.
This sounds like a bunch of euphemisms laced together.
Right?
It does.
But
it does.
My second pup, he had the same thing happen. And instead of running away, he took like 10 steps backwards and sprinted at him, lowered his head, and gave him the Derrick Henry treatment.
The bitness.
Just ran him over and knocked the goose basically stupid. But yeah, geese are a-holes.
Geese on golf courses are a problem. Like, they get a little bit territorial. They start honking at you. Better not.
You have a golf club. Why are you?
Well, and how are they so loud when they're flying overhead?
There's a lot of them going over our house.
Well, not
right
that.
Now.
There's a lot of neck.
Yeah.
They're loud. Yeah. Like, I can hear it inside the house when they're flying over. They're loud.
And they drop missiles, man. They come down with authority.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, bombing neighborhoods.
Think about it. Think about it.
Right when you wash your car, too.
When you're making a noise and there's a little kid and you grab the paper towel dispenser and it's louder. Same thing like a gooseneck.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do, my dude.
Paper towel dispenser.
It's brutal.
Which is good. That's what geese are good for.
Paper towel dispensers?
When they're dead.
Wow. Jeez, that took a twist. Actually, an expected twist.
I was
going
to say, what's funny is we always react with like a surprise here. We should just be used to this by now.
Look.
It's how we want you.
Look, one time we went duck hunting and we were like, hey, we didn't get our geese limit. And a friend of ours had property out in North Plains. And he's like, man, I've got too many geese. They are eating up my corn.
You can shoot those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought they were protected.
No. There's certain birds that are protected.
Golly, just.
But no, there's a lot of them aren't. And we literally, there was about a 30-foot shed before you went out to the farmland. And we all lined up, made sure everybody had, you know, proper barrel discipline. Like, all right, on three. And we went out there, just slowly rolled out like a firing squad and emptied our shotguns.
Here's the situation.
This is the most Danny story I've ever heard.
And we
went out in this line of death.
It's over.
And just started plucking off these geese, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We got our limit on geese in about 40 seconds because there was about 500 geese out there.
That doesn't seem fair.
It wasn't.
Doesn't seem like a fair fight.
No, 3.5-inch triple BB out of a Benelli shotgun. It goes pretty quick on the old semi-auto.
See, now they're getting wise, though, and they're going in attacking people in. This looks like a business, like a
college professor type.
That's he got him good.
I'm gonna say the very low T vibes.
I would, yeah. You just gotta fling that bag he had.
The bird you gotta be in the back end.
Ooh, you gotta get that satchel swing.
The bird you gotta be afraid of is the pelican.
Can't say I've had any run-ins with pelicans.
Pelicans are big. They're huge, and they walk around like they own the place.
Well,
they kind of
do.
They probably kind of do.
Yeah.
All right. On to our worst day on the web.
Okay.
Woman loses hand after freak accident with hairdryer.
This is something.
I'm sorry. What now?
Yeah. A South Carolina woman lost her hand after a freak accident with a hairdryer left her with severe burns.
Damn alligator. Bit my hand off.
Right? Same vibes, except dumber. Mary Wilson was drying her hair in her bathroom before bedtime last month. When she suddenly passed out and the hairdryer was still running and scorched her hand as she laid on top of it.
Why did she lay on top of it?
Well, I feel like we also might be glazing over something here.
Mm.
Suddenly passed out.
Yeah, I would imagine
she
lock her legs?
Like, what happened? You're just drying your hair. What made you pass out?
Well, we've been over this.
Yeah,
we've been over
this.
My daughter has, there's a condition where some people, if they're getting their hair done and their head is bent in a particular way, they will...
Lights out.
Pass out and just... Boop.
I did forget about
they're
that.
They're like fainting goats.
My apologies, Ev.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a jerk.
My daughter's a fainting goat. Like, she now has to sit down to have her hair done because this has happened twice where she just goes, lights out, boom. It's terrifying. But the hair dryer just went... Boom!
That women have off switches in their head is kind of weird.
Yeah, I think men do too. It's just we've wisened up and cut the hair so short. Like, we're not put in that situation. This is another reason why the man bun should go away. You could fall victim to this hair dryer accident. This is a freak accident. But just this past weekend, I was walking into our bedroom and I saw like this flash come in a big pop. My wife was curling her hair, and her curling iron just had like this ba-boom. And I had no idea what had happened. It scared the S out of me, more so my wife, because though I don't know what happened. Like, it wasn't like we tripped a breaker or anything. Like, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. It was just the curling iron went ba-boom. Big spark, big flash, curling iron dead. It takes a lot.
Oh, yeah, no. Heating elements take a ton.
I am not that nightmare fuel.
I have had
hair dryer.
The flat iron is the one in my house where I look at my wife and I go, "You done using that? I don't want it in the plugged in. Like if it's not,
oh yeah,
I don't want it anywhere near an outlet because those things are evil."
Losing your hand in a hair drying accident.
Yeah, so her partner found her lying on the floor.
Beats the crap out of your old Uncle Spud, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, no. By the way, Uncle Spud, Jeff Russ, uncle that was not an uncle, he lost two digits closing a washing machine.
Or
so,
more.
What?
Or more.
He lost three?
I think by the time he had died, he was down to three digits on each hand.
And you called him Uncle Spud, not Uncle Crabman.
Yeah, or the Claw.
Did he at least have thumbs and index fingers?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thumbs, yes, and at least one index finger.
I'm smushing
your
head.
A hard time remembering which fingers on each hand were missing.
How many fingers do you need to lose before you are at a point where you're like, no more? This ain't happened to me again. I've been down this road before.
I feel like one hand he was missing the ring finger and pinky, but the other I can't remember which two. I think it was a pinky and another one. Like I said, I was 16 when he died. It was a long time ago.
That man is the guy you call, though, if you have something in a hard-to-reach spot. Because he can
reach back there.
He can get his hands in there, and he's gonna clamp that little thing down. It's like, oh, can't reach it. It's too far back there. Like, call Uncle Spud. He's going to come over. He's going to grab that thing right out of there.
He got them pinchers.
Jeez Louise.
Does he give you great advice on how to play the Claw?
Dude, I'm telling
arcade
you,
games.
I'm thinking like
no,
this
seriously.
Is,
you gotta make sure you grab it this way.
Uncle Spud had like on his left hand the one that is his off hand.
And then he's got a built-in shocker.
He's
on
got
the other.
Thumb and he's got middle finger and index finger. And then on the other one, I think he lost his middle finger. And I'm going with that on
Could
his
be.
Right hand because he's down a middle finger and a pinky because he flipped one guy off at a bar one night and it got ripped off.
And
by
he lived
a biker.
To be like 96, consuming no less than like a dozen eggs per day.
That's because
in,
he needed
in various
less
forms.
How many bottles of Old Crow per day?
He needed less blood. That's why. The digits.
This man. This man does not seem like he is drinking.
He was a treasure.
Anything that is above the waist level at the liquor store. He was not a top shelf man.
Yeah, no, he was probably fairly frugal. Yes,
yeah, a little plastic bottle action.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not scared.
Oh,
I don't even know what drop that was, but it
I don't
fit right
look.
There.
That wasn't me. I didn't.
That's the ghost of Uncle Spud saying, "I'm not scared."
I don't know what that
He's
was.
He's not scared of the bottom shelf.
That literally just fired off when I turned off my microphone. I touched nothing else.
That's the ghost of Uncle Spud saying, "You shut up about me, my digits, boys."
I'm not scared.
That's bananas,
I'm
dude.
Never scared. Back to the old lady, not old lady, 23-year-old lady who burned her hand off.
Okay.
She laid on the floor for about 20 minutes with a hairdryer running. How do you not wake up with a hairdryer cooking your hand? The smell of, like, burnt skin isn't waking you up?
20 minutes is longer than the hair pass out thing. That, it's way longer.
Yeah.
Like, that,
That's
you're
a
talking
long time.
Like 10 seconds to like a minute at most that you're out with that. This is screaming more of, I don't know, like chemically induced, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you don't pass out for 20 minutes just on your own unless she just has like,
she's got a pretty good view on it. She said, "I'm still going to live my life to the fullest. It's just a hand. What is this? 10% of my body? Losing my hand may be something that changes who I am, but that doesn't mean it has to define me on everything."
I like that.
And she's also now looking forward to getting a prosthetic hand.
Ooh, yeah. So
you
there
know,
you go.
We don't
what
have...
do you do? The hook? Do you like
that's
the hook?
Thing is,
do you do the hook?
We don't see enough hooks anymore.
Do you do the little grappler claw like Uncle Spud might have with his middle and with his index and middle finger?
I was watching a movie the other day.
You have formal and casual hands.
Or do we just go plain old like
Harrison Ford, The Fugitive?
Yeah. I was watching a movie the other day, and I can't remember what it was. Someone came on in the background, and I saw the old rubber hand with the hook, with the grappler. And I was like, you know, I remember seeing those, like, not commonly, but like when I did see something like that, it was that one. I haven't seen that in the wild in forever. Like, is there a change?
Yeah, because the World War II vets are dying off.
Well, I mean, just put people, like, I've seen people with, like, missing appendages. Like, I have friends that have lost.
Yeah.
But I don't see that anymore.
because we're giving them something better.
Is that what it is?
Than something
have
that,
we advanced past the...
I think we have.
The only thing that Grappler was really good for was, like, it would open wide enough to accept mail.
Yeah.
Like, that was really all it was good for.
I would think we have.
A key to open a door.
See, what I'm curious about, has anybody ever done, you know, missing a hand, what have you, and rather than the hook or the claw or whatever, gone and surgically had implanted on their arm the old toy, like, shark grabber thing?
Oh. I don't think surgically. Grafting,
that's difficult.
See, you have your casual, you have your formal, and then you have your gag.
Your gag hand?
There we go. I mean...
I will say...
But to answer your question, Jeff... No.
On this front, on the advancement front?
Like, not one ever.
No.
Not one ever.
In my experiences with those as a kid, they break in a day.
Yeah.
So, no.
You get a lifetime supply from Amazon.
No.
In all seriousness, there is a place here, actually in Portland.
Sorry, in all seriousness, we left that phrase behind in this show yesterday.
I'm just saying. In all seriousness, there is a place here in Portland as like the foremost... advanced place for amputated hands.
Yeah.
And you spend 8 weeks going through intensive training where they bond it to your nervous system. So it works through your brain. Like it, like your actual hand.
Right. So we can't do that with one little shark grabbers?
Just a titanium one?
No.
I mean, with today's technology... You know?
No. No.
We have the ability to give you back basically your hand.
Can we get somebody on this?
No. I want the shark hand. Can you just make it indestructible? It's like Jaws from James Bond, but on your hand.
It's freaking sharks like, with freaking lasers shooting out of their eyes.
I don't want to put this out there, but like, no, Rust. Like, there's a part of me now that's like, you know what? Let's put Jeff Rust one-handed and see if he goes, sure, actually, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You are going to go, sure.
What if we went shotgun?
God darn right I would.
Go full circle here with the geese. Go shotgun hand.
No.
No?
No. Again, no. Nobody's looking to murder people on a daily basis. Yeah, like,
that's just the fake walking stick. Like, just, like
the cap opens
like
up.
A John Wick type weapon.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like where you're going here. Yeah. All right, so yeah, lady burned her hand off of the hairdryer.
A cane is pretty cool, though. Like, if you... Yeah.
The rifle cane?
If you need a cane... Well, just, like, any cool cane.
Oh.
Like, when you see a dude with a cool cane, you're like, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
I like the rifle cane.
You
have that little sight pop-up.
Like, I don't think you need that.
A little trigger on the handle?
I think, no, we don't need that for you.
No?
Mm-mm.
The Tacticane?
See, the thing is, he actually lives in the John Wick universe. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, there was an NFL signing that was actually a pretty big deal that happened yesterday. We'll dive into that and more. Coming from Danny Dussey, Danny the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, a relatively big news in the NFL yesterday as the New York Jets just swing right in and pick up Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver who was released due to, financial constraints, Mike Williams. Now, if Aaron Rodgers is out there healthy and ready to go on day one, he's got Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams to throw to.
It's not bad. It's not a bad receiving core to start with. But again, with Mike Williams, this also comes down to if he's healthy, too.
Indeed.
You know, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, that's one thing. But Mike Williams is another guy that we've seen injury bug biting. He's a big body target, though. Now you have an offense and targets that make sense, right? You have Garrett Wilson, who you could stretch the field with. You got the big body receiver in Mike Williams. But then you have the safety blankets that Aaron Rodgers brought in, like Alan Lazard, you know, his guys that he are his little go-tos. This Jets team is fascinating because I also like what they did. The first wave of free agents, those are the ones that everybody, they catch that attention, right? What the Jets are doing is high risk, high reward, though. Tyron Smith at left tackle. Mm-hmm. You have a 33-year-old left tackle who he has missed a lot of football over the last couple of years. Actually, the last three seasons. I think he's missed 37 games.
But when he's on the field.
He is one of the best tackles in football.
Absolute monster.
You have Mike Williams, who is the high reward if he can stay healthy and stay out on the field. In the AFC East, it's going to be a lot harder when you have to go to New England, you have to go to Buffalo, mm-hmm. and depending on in playing games in New York outdoors late in the year. If you can't stay healthy and you have, you know, those tissue injuries, right? Mm-hmm. You got hamstring problems, which both these guys have had. It gets cold. That tightens up. We'll see how long both these mm-hmm. these guys last for. And Aaron Rodgers, for God's sakes. Like, we're just sitting there like, hey, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're up to their Achilles, for God's yeah. sakes. So there is high reward in both of those signings for the Jets. And Mike Williams can be a game changer for them. It is, can the Jets not get in their own way? And can they stay healthy? Like that, get out of their own way, and can they stay healthy? Like that is, are the Jets going to jet, and can they stay healthy? And that is the most fascinating part about really the entire AFC East when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Buffalo and Miami have both had to kind of rework who they are because of their contracts. And, you know, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde now gone out of yep. Buffalo. Poyer now down in Miami. Miami had a mass exodus because of, you know, the cap. They were up against it.
The who's most important to them Olympics, essentially.
But both of those teams were like, if they get out of their own way, they were Super Bowl contenders mm-hmm. a year ago. The Jets are now in that same conversation. And this AFC East, it's going to be, I have no idea what's going to happen in the AFC East because you had both Buffalo and Miami taking a step back. I think that Buffalo taking a significantly less step backwards
yes.
than Miami, but they are not the same teams that they were a year ago where we were looking at both of those as teams that could both make deep playoff runs. And look, Miami could have done it if they didn't screw up and get bit by the injury bug in the middle of the year and had to go play negative 23-degree weather at Arrowhead, right? Because that game was just, there's no way Miami was ever going to win that game.
No.
And they ended up getting rolled in it. That, you take all of the teams, and the Patriots are going to be terrible this year.
Indeed.
But you have three teams that you sit there and you go, if they can put it together, all three of them have quarterbacks. All three of them have weapons offensively. Can they hang in there injury-wise? And what do their defenses all look like with the mass exodus in Miami and Buffalo on that side of the ball? If those teams can hold it together, all three of them, AFC East is going to be fun as hell.
Yeah, it is. And with the Jets, they're built for this year. That's what they're built for.
Yep.
And it's Mike Williams signed a one-year deal, $15 million with upwards of $20 million in incentives. The Jets are this year a bust, which...
Yep. Well, Javon Kinlaw also coming in on the defensive mm-hmm. side of the ball. They had money that they could spend there. You're already good with Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed at corner. Mm-hmm. Like they have the framework to be a contending team.
Yes, and that's the thing is I applaud when teams go, well, it's now or never. So let's just go. Yep. There's that opportunity there. There is the easy way to put this is gambling is taking over sports. Is it? What place does gambling have not only in our society but in sports and how it pertains to relationships with athletes? We'll get into that with more with Tyrese Haliburton coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.